Hi, I'm Amy. I have a PhD in sociology, and I've spent a lot of years researching and writing about race and inequalities in general.
And I'm Vidushi, and I'm a musician, and we're friends, and we hang out, and we often find ourselves talking about race and racism. So I came up to Amy one day, and a few times before when we were hanging out, and I just had a question for her. Why don't white people like being called racist? Why are they so sensitive about that word?
The historical context that I think matters here is the change that happened in the U.S. Before and after the Civil Rights Movement. Before the Civil Rights Movement, white people were pretty comfortable with, I don't know if they thought of themselves as racist, but they're pretty comfortable with being uncomfortable with black people. And in the U.S., like, the history of racism is obviously super complicated because we are such a diverse society, but it's really revolved around this kind of white-black dichotomy for a long time. Black people were just not in their world, so it was very segregated, and that was okay with them. Then the Civil Rights Movement came around, and, like, it changed a lot of stuff. The story the U.S. tells about itself is a story of progress, right? That's the story of the U.S. And the Civil Rights Movement is a pivotal moment in the story of the U.S. White people like that story. I mean, when I listen to my mom, that's such an important moment for her. And she tells it like it changed everything. Well, since the Civil Rights Movement, at least most of them, tell themselves and want to believe that the U.S. is not racist, at least in the way that it was before. That black people and other people of color have equal opportunities, and that if they're not successful, it's because of problems that they have in terms of their behavior and choices, and not because the U.S. is a racist place. And because of that, white people have come to believe, I think truly and deeply, that they are not in fact racist, but have come to adopt what sociologists call this colorblind racism. And colorblind racism is this thing that probably so many of you are familiar with, where people talk about not seeing race, right? Treating everyone the same. When white people truly believe this about themselves, despite all the evidence that, of course, people do sort people based on race, then being called racist comes to feel like a real assault on their character and who they are as a person, and their moral identity.
You told me one time this idea that white people equate being called racist to being subject to racist acts. So this, like, truly having this unempathetic understanding of life or death, maybe. Not understanding that being subject to racist acts as a person of color, especially as a black person in America, can result in dying, versus just being called racist. And right. So because there's this huge, huge rift, it's something that white people can't process, maybe.
Right. The sociologist from the early 20th century, W.E.B. Du Bois, he theorized double consciousness, which is the thing that black people have, which is where they can go through the world and they can understand the world through the perspective of a black person and through the perspective of a white person, which is necessary for black people because it's a survival mechanism, right? Right. But white people don't have to have that same double consciousness. Like, we don't have to understand the world through the perspective of a black person or another person of color.
Yeah.
Right? And so, as a consequence, even though we can look out and we can see, like, what has happened to George Floyd, for example, when we have the trial going on right now of Derek Chauvin, we can see it, we can be outraged by it, but most of us cannot truly understand what it is like to be a black person in America. And the experiences of fear and anger that come from having been subject to so much chronic racism. And because of that, we can somehow in our minds imagine that this sting, this prick of being called racist is somehow equivalent. Or that black people can subject me to the same kind of pain or lack of opportunities. The really significant problems with, even though I get it, I understand that pain, like I've experienced that pain, is that white people tend to react to it in one of two ways, and both ways are really troubling. We either shut down because we feel so guilty and consequently, we don't do anything to further racial equity, or we lash out at the person who has called us racist, who is usually a person of color, and consequently put more burden on the person of color to solve the problem.
Well, it's not actionable, and then, that, like you said, that puts a burden on the person of color to do the emotional labor to try to explain to the white person why it's racist, what their experience is, everything that they deal with every day, which is also just, in general, difficult to explain as is. Like you said, there maybe is some kind of... Again, it's the, like, intention doesn't equal impact kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because there's this... The wall ends up coming up. I didn't mean for it to sound that way, or the implications of all of that. And therefore, you shouldn't berate me for saying these things.
There's this purity about, you know, especially right now, there's so many white people who responded to the incident with George Floyd in a way. It's sort of unprecedented in history. And I think there's this purity about white efforts to help people of color, where white people feel like, look, I'm genuinely interested in trying to help you. And here you are, you know, calling me racist, suggesting that I'm racist, and you're undermining my good intentions by suggesting that they're not pure, that I'm not pure, that I've messed up. And now I feel bad, and you made me feel bad.
Yes.
Right? So it's your fault.
My fault, yeah.
So you need to fix it.
Yep.
Right.
Again, then the emotional labor is still... And then they don't engage, and then they lash out.
Right. It's not necessarily, like, even conscious.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, there's this really important thing where white people need to become more conscious about our actions. Like, that we need to be safe in all of our interactions, and that we get to gain something.
Right. Right. Well, and then it doesn't change anything, right? Right. Like, ultimately, the point is that that doesn't change anything, and those kind of behaviors don't... Because their thoughts and their thought patterns, they just come out in, like, microaggressions and stuff. So, like, for an example, if you guys don't know what microaggressions are, when I was growing up, people would look at my name and give me, like, pet names or nicknames. And one that really stuck with so many people was douchebag. And they would just call me douchebag. They'd be like, oh, douchebag, like, blah, blah, blah. In their genuine effort to bring me into their in-group. Right. But not realizing they're doing so by erasure. And erasure at the same time as being, now I'm very, very chronically, actively aware of my race at any point in time, because you're making fun of something that's my Indian name.
And I'm always on the lookout for those kinds of microaggressions in Oliver's daily life, too, as a black kid going to a primarily white school. And I remember them from when he was young, when he and I would go out and about to parks and things like that, and white kids would just question... would literally just approach him, like kids he didn't know would approach him and question whether or not I was his mom. White adults would come up and just like pet his head like he was a dog.
For Oliver having to justify his existence, his family, like that is so tiring all the time. When no one has to be born. It's not very fair. What do you think that in those situations, like what could have the white moms done differently in that situation? What could white people be doing differently?
You know, it's just very clear that white parents need to be educating their white kids, and that, you know, in any situation where a white person is being called racist, it's really imperative that we move beyond that initial sting and think about, you know, what is happening in that dynamic, what's happening in that interaction, and try to change or try to learn from it, but not put the onus or the responsibility on the person of color. And we need to think of it as an opportunity to be out there and an opportunity to be making change and to recognize that it could happen, is probably going to happen, and that we have to toughen up.
Yeah. It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. We have to toughen up, stay in that space, and figure out what to do next.
Right. Instead of yes, but.
Yeah.
Yes and. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what we want to try to take away, is this like moral identity with being called racist.
Right, right, right. We want to remove that moral burden.
Yes.
That the culture has put on that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Through history and everything.
Right. Because, you know, when I think about like the number of times that I and everybody I know have engaged in sexist acts, and the ways in which that has, you know, I identify as feminist, and yet I know that I've been sexist. I know we all have, because it's just like racism. Like,
right.
It just happens. Like, we try to continually learn. And, you know, I feel like in almost all ways, it matters more what white people do than what white people think.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And we need to just be looking for opportunities to create better equity for people of color.
Well, and I remember asking you this before too, because I would get frustrated. I'm like, well, why would white people care? Why does that even matter to them? And you said something very profound. It was, we are not liberated until the most oppressed are liberated. So check out the description of this video. Amy has a blog post where she talks more about more actionable items. So just check in the link and click on subscribe and come to our YouTube channel. We're going to be talking about
We're going to be talking about more stuff. Yeah.
Thank you.